41. It was late afternoon by the time Wax got into position at the Lord Mayor's mansion, the Silver House. Though nightfall was hours away, he hoped, as he did every day, that the mists would come tonight. It felt like forever since he'd been out in them. Not only did they seem to come less often these days, he also had less occasion to go out at night. The mists felt like a friend from his youth, that he still knew but rarely talked to. He'd been at this all day, having left Ellendale a few hours before dawn, but fatigue felt distant regardless. As 4:15 hit, Wax burst into motion. Wayne should have his distraction going in full, which gave Wax the opportunity to bolt across the springy grass to the mayor's mansion. He dropped a bullet and pushed up to the second floor. There, he grabbed the outer window sill and gave a quick push to the mechanism inside, which should undo the latch. The window rattled, but didn't unlatch. Drat, it had a full lock, one a push couldn't undo. All right. He increased his weight many-fold, and a quick push cracked the window and bent the lock, letting him force the window open and pull himself inside. His boots thumped down on a carpeted floor. The place was messy, but not cluttered. Piles of papers occupied the desk and the nearby tables. A small bar held a collection of spirits, half the tops off, the other half put haphazardly back on the wrong bottle. Books lined a shelf, some put in spine first, others reversed, and a good third of them slumped to the side because the ones at the far end had been removed, leaving the whole thing to slouch like sleepy guards on watch duty. It was in many ways the opposite of Copper's flat. That had been sterile, pristine. This was lived in. It had the air of a place full of secrets. Because a man as important as Gave would employ a fleet of maids and servants to keep things tidy, except in this room. Wax didn't have a lot to go on, but the Lord Mayor was involved in whatever the set was planning, and involvement on that level would leave traces. A bomb somewhere in this city was pointed at Ellendale, and this room held the clues that would lead him to it. But where? Wax sorted quickly through the pages on the desk. Wayne was probably doing Grandma's Bennett the Vodka, his favorite ploy for drawing attention, but not gunfire. Unfortunately, the set would be on the lookout for his tricks. They'd created a metalborn designed specifically to face Wayne. They would know about his propensity for disguises. The papers didn't give him much. Some shipping manifests to a factory on the outskirts of town, a stack of broadsheets with editorials circled that were critical of Gabe, and another, newer stack of them with no such problems. He opened the desk and found a curious number of letters from noblemen and noblewomen in Ellendale. Wax recognized several of the names, including Venice Hasting, one of the more powerful senators. He scanned a letter from him, and it touched on nothing incriminating. Though it mentioned trade negotiations, most of it was pleasantries. Frowning, Wax fished in his coat pocket and brought out another letter, the extremely incriminating one, also from Venice Hasting, that Moraga had given him. He was missing pieces here. When had they moved from pleasantries to discussing the destruction of the world? For now, he stuffed both letters into his pocket. Gave and Venice were colluding, but he had already known that. He needed a lead on where to find the bomb. Fortunately, after a little more hunting, he struck gold. Gave Entrone's calendar. People usually made certain to hide the most important documents and information. They'd lock up their plans and schemes, but often forgot simple things, like calendars. To a trained detective, knowing where you'd been and where you planned to be could be incriminating. Back in the roughs, he'd often had to piece a person's schedule together through interviews and interrogations. But in a modern city, people tended to write it down for him. The desk calendar was the wide and flat type that displayed an entire month, one day to a box. Previous months had been folded back behind and were covered in notations in two hands, a sloppier one that, from the letters, Wax assumed was Gabe's, and a neater hand that likely belonged to a secretary. Lots of visits to something called the lab, Wax thought, with tight scheduling between meetings here at the mansion. So the lab is close, or he has some direct method of getting to it. Another spot listed trajectory and distance tests, and that was surrounded by several empty days, so he'd needed to travel some way for that. Curious. Where could they have launched delivery devices a long distance without drawing attention? Wax looked up as he heard some muffled shots. Wayne's distraction was working. He kept searching, scanning for anything suspicious, and something struck him a moment later. There were no appointments after today. A coldness spread through Wax as he looked at the last appointment in Gave's own hand. It simply said, "They arrive." Rusts. What did that mean? There wasn't time for analysis, so he ripped off the sheets, even though that would reveal he'd been here, and moved on. Confident he'd learned what he could from the desk, he tried an old coin shots trick, burning steel. Little blue lines spread from his chest toward viable sources of metal. Most of these were faint, indicating nails in the walls and furniture. Light fixtures, doorknobs, even unseen wires for electricity. More and more, their lives were surrounded by metal, glints of it facilitating everything from the incandescent bulb to the nib in the pen on the desk. He knew some people felt that the day of the metalborn was over, that modern advances would equalize all people and diminish the advantages of allomancer and ferrochemist. Yet he had trained himself, with practice, to put out the lights in a room by distorting the wires in the walls. His versatility improved with each new discovery, and as more metal outlined their lives, he was able to see more and more details of rooms. He spotted no hidden chambers in the desk, but he did locate the room's safe. Hidden not behind a picture or a bookshelf, but in the floor under a couch, which was a more common spot than the other two, despite popular lore. Wax set to it quickly. For all his levity, Wayne would be in serious danger during this distraction. Wax didn't want to leave him too long. Indeed, Wax heard more cries and shouts as he shoved the couch aside. They were getting louder. The enemy might already be on to him. The safe had an allomantic lock, no visible keyhole or combination. It would be opened with pushes if he was lucky, pulls if he was unlucky. Wax squinted, judging the metal lines. There was the giant blue one leading to the safe itself, of course. Many allomancers would stop with that, never realizing that if you peered closer, if you let the lines start to drift and separate, one giant line became many smaller ones, all connecting him to the various mechanisms inside. Pins you could push in a specific order to unlock the thing. He got to work as the shots outside grew more urgent. These kinds of locks were secure against most people and even most allomancers. But there was a weakness. Wax carefully, subtly pushed each pin in turn, wiggling them until he found the one that activated a tumbler. That would be the first. He nudged it and was rewarded when it locked into place. He was in luck. This was a mechanism meant for one who could push, not pull. He should be able to open it, though even many coin shots would have trouble with something this subtle. First tumbler in place, he wiggled each remaining pin to find the second. Easy. He quickly located the third, pushed it, and the lock reset. Wax froze, a bead of sweat trickling down his cheek. What had he done wrong? He forced himself, despite the growing noise outside, to go through it again. Again, the lock reset after he pushed the third pin. He pounded the floor in frustration until the answer struck him. This wasn't a lock designed for someone who could push or pull. It was designed for someone who could do both. The third pin required a pull. In short, it was a lock designed for a mistborn to open, or in this case, someone using hemallergy to cheat. Which meant he was out of luck. He'd never get this open, not unless he could rip it out and do his pushes from both sides. He didn't have time for that. And there was something more going on outside, shouts, alarms, and was that smoke he smelled? Rusts. Wax did a quick scan of the room for anything else he could investigate. There wasn't... wait! That pattern of metal in the floor. Wooden boards in regular straight rows nailed down in lines, except for one square of nails underneath the rug. Trap door, he thought, and shoved the rug aside, feeling about until he located the hidden latch. Entrone had the spikes to make him an allomancer and was quite enamored with his powers, judging by that safe. But he didn't have the experience of someone who'd grown up with their powers. A seasoned coin shot could pick out that pattern of nails in the same way a square of new paint on an old wall would stand out. The trap door led to a very narrow shaft with a wooden ladder, probably between two walls on the first floor, down into a basement. As smoke began to stream in around the door and he heard shouts for a fire brigade, along with feet thumping along the hallway outside, Wax decided to abandon the safe. He slipped onto the ladder, then pulled the trapdoor closed behind him, hoping that wherever this led, it would point him in the right direction.